Hello, lovely listeners. It has been a while. So if you haven't listened before, I am Katie Moon, NHS nurse, and this is my podcast, the Mad Moon Podcast. So I predominantly talk to healthcare professionals about mental well-being, but the podcast has grown and I speak to anybody about mental health and mental well-being. So this is a very exciting episode because it is one of three, and by that I mean the three episodes are all members, directors, owners of the same business, so A-Game Consultancy. They are also called Adam, strangely enough, but I'll come on to them and these episodes in a little bit more detail shortly. Before that, I just want to say, as always, I have to say these bits because I can swear a lot, so please be mindful of some colourful language. And as always, with it being mental health, please prepare for some potentially triggering topics. So back to A-Game Consultancy, three Adams. We've got Adam Mayhew, Adam Hindley and Adam Smith. And my God, I really enjoyed talking to all three of them. They are all so passionate, just really motivating. I mean, perfect time of year to release these episodes, and I thought it was perfect to start with Adam Mayhew because he talks a lot about health and fitness, kind of more from a physical point of view. So Adam Mayhew is a health and nutrition and mindset coach. So he shares his journey, how he got into A-Game Consultancy and how that came about. But that does come a lot later in the third episode with Adam Smith, who talks about that in a lot more detail. But Adam Mayhew shares his journey, his personal journey, including why he went alcohol free, which I also always find fascinating. So A-Game Consultancy, three Adams, one goal. As it says on their Instagram page, they help burnt out high performers completely reset their health. And once you've listened to these, you can see how. And if you don't listen to these and want to make a change at the end of it, I will be so surprised. Yeah, really inspirational men. So open, so honest, so authentic. Adam Smith had me in tears. Adam Hindley had me in fits of laughter. And Adam Mayhew was my first wonderful guest who was really open and shared his experiences with mental health. So I really hope you enjoy the episode. Another reminder, triggering topics, colourful language. But here is me and Adam. Okay, so Adam, as I just said to you, I've done a little intro, which I've not yet prepared, but I'm sure I said some wonderful things about you. Are you just happy to introduce yourself to the listeners in whichever way you want?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thanks very much for having me, Katie. Yeah, so my name is Adam Mayhew, and I own a health and wellbeing company with my two business partners who are also named Adam. I myself am a nutritionist and health coach, and the other two Adams, we have a physiotherapist, a personal trainer, and a life coach. Yeah, and myself, I'm sort of outside of business, outside of work, I'm very much into endurance running. I'm an ultra marathon runner, and I'm also just over 3.5 years alcohol free as well. So I live the sober life. Yeah,
there were so many questions already. I love that intro. Yeah. Straight away, I'm like, oh, but right, okay, that's our half hour gone. So I think something that most listeners, if they're anything like me, will be thinking, and you did say it when we had a little pre-recording chat, you said, not because I had a problem with alcohol. So I think that's really interesting because, and I'm sure everyone listening or a lot of people listening will agree that they instantly thought, oh, we must have had a problem with alcohol. So can we just dive straight into that? And do you mind just sharing where that choice came from?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm 35 years old now. And my relationship with alcohol was very much social, you know, going out with the guys, going out with the lads, didn't really drink during the week. It was always, you know, I'd work this is let's talk about, like, you know, going through my 20s and early 30s. It was very much, you know, getting trashed at the weekend. But Monday to Friday, didn't really drink. May have had the odd beer here and there. But yeah, I never did like a dry January or a sober October. Never did any one of those. It was just pretty much every weekend I was getting drunk. So binge drinking, but never really, you know, never really saw it as a problem. And it was, yeah, it's about just over three and a half years ago. You know, just so your listeners are aware as well, like, I've not always been a nutritionist and a health coach. You know, this has only been, you know, recently in the last sort of year or so, because I retrained and went back to university and things. But prior to that, I was working in IT. So I was a techie dude. And yeah, so it's about just over three and a half years ago, I was quite stressed, a bit overweight. The dad bod was starting to show, even though I don't have children yet, but, and I wasn't really looking after my health. I'd say I was burnt out, stressed, sort of IT manager guy, operations manager. And I was just lying there. I'd been out the night before, had a few beers, and I was just like, I feel like shit. I really just feel like shit. And something's got to change. I just became sort of like painfully aware that I've got to change, because this is just getting silly now. You know, I'm like early 30s and we're still going out and getting drunk at the weekends. I just felt average. I just felt like, is this it? Is this all that I do? I just go to work really hard, and then the weekend comes around, I go out. Don't get me wrong, have fun with my friends, but then my entire weekend's wiped out because I've been hungover. And then Monday comes back around again and I'm back in the office with the Monday blues. It's just like, oh. So I thought, I'm going to take a little break from alcohol. And this actually tied in with, because I actually had a little problem with my stomach. And it actually tied in with that, because I couldn't drink anyway because I had this stomach issue that I had. I had like inflammation. So I took a break. It was about 4 weeks, 4 or 5 week break. And I felt amazing. But then it was my stag do. My stag do was coming up, and I immediately felt better, like in those 4 weeks of no alcohol, 4 or 5 weeks. And then my stag do was coming up, and I nearly actually thought, you know, I nearly told the guys I'm not going to drink. Yeah, that wasn't going to happen. So, did the stag do. That was typical lads drinking loads, normal, what you can imagine that happens on a stag do. But after the 2 days of binge drinking, I remember just being in the hotel when I was checking out, and I called my wife to be, and I said, that's it, no more, I'm done with it. I can't do it. I've had that nice little 4 week break off alcohol, which is the first time I've done that, you know, since I'd started drinking, whenever that was, 16 years old or whatever. And I felt really good. And that's it, no more. I'm done with this sort of laddish sort of behavior and going out and drinking and let's get shit faced. I'm done with it. There's going to be some big changes happening. And that was it. I just stopped there and then, started working on myself, really, really started working on myself, started looking at my diet, you know, what changes I could make in my diet, because that wasn't particularly great. Started learning about the nutrition as well. And that's how I sort of got into nutrition, because I became fascinated by the human body. And I started, you know, like learning about alcohol as well, like how it affects your body. Like, what is it? Where does it come from? You know, and started learning about that. And I was like, wow, oh my God, we've been lied to all these years. They don't tell you what they put in it. And then, you know, through that, it led to other things. And I got into endurance running. I started like obstacle course racing, and I met a group of people. So instead of me sort of hanging around with the guys I was drinking with most weekends, I joined up at a gym, and they were doing a lot of like obstacle course racing. And I thought, yeah, it looks really cool. So I got involved in that, and it all just changed from there. I became like a sort of amateur athlete, and got really good at running, and that led to marathon running, and then led to ultra running, 50k ultra runs, and then most recently I've done a 60k, and just a couple of weeks ago I ran my most toughest challenge, which was 80 kilometers with 13,000 feet of elevation. That was fun. So yeah, big changes have happened over the last sort of 3.5-4 years. So yeah, so I don't know if that answers your question, but with the alcohol free, it's anyone who's listened to this who's alcohol free and used to drink will be probably nodding their head as I say this. But going alcohol free is honestly, it's the single most transformational change anyone can make, regardless of your relationship with alcohol. Mm. Whether if you just have a couple of drinks during the week or whatever, or if you have a big binge session, it is life changing. You know, the improvements that you see in your sleep, your skin can improve as well, especially after like 30 days, because your liver returns back to normal function. You have more money in the bank as well, because you're not spending it on nights out and stuff. And yeah, you actually build more confidence is what I found, especially if you use like alcohol as a social crutch when you're going out. I found that I'd never hid away. I still went out with the guys. I still went into the, you know, the social situations. But what happens is, what I found is, your confidence, it's true confidence. You socializing is a skill, and you actually build those skills when you're out there, and it's authentic. It's you. It's not the drink talking. And I just found, yeah, you know, I got all this time back. I was like, I wasn't waking up, you know, with hungover. I was like, oh my God, I've got all this time back. And the things that I'd been curious about over the years, I started to explore them all, you know, which is the running, everything else, and the OCR, and all that came into place. So yeah. And I've seen this because I help people with this. I help people take a break from alcohol. And it might sound a bit cheesy, but when they get to sort of like 30 or 60 days alcohol free, they kind of like find themselves again. And they're just, yeah, it's a great place to be, is being alcohol free. I love it.
I completely get what you're saying. And it is really like you said about, I'm alcohol free, but not by choice, because I'm pregnant. So I've had to be alcohol free. So I think that's a little bit different, because I haven't had the luxury of feeling well or having good skin or suddenly having more energy because I'm pregnant. So I haven't had all those lovely things.
I mean, all those benefits. Yeah.
I haven't had those. But all the other things you're saying, like your time is completely wasted. And I definitely noticed a huge, like you mentioned, Monday blues and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I know you probably meant that in reference to just that whole like Monday to Friday slog, but I would get that, especially the older I got, with if I'd had a drink at the weekend, I wouldn't just lie in the morning and then I'd be okay. My weekend is gone. I'd be sleeping on and off. I'd be eating takeaways and sugary foods, and then I'd feel horrendous on Monday. I wouldn't have done a decent food shop or any food prep on Sunday. I wouldn't have walked the dog or gone to the gym or done anything. And it just has such a huge impact on your whole week, on everything, on your sleep. And
it's like people, like, you know, think that's quite cool, like, oh, I'm hungover, like it's a cool thing. It's like, no, it's not. You just paralyzed yourself for the next 3 or 4 days and you just, all the things that you just said then just go straight out the window. So it's like, I see alcohol free as it's a superpower. It really is a superpower. You know, and being a business owner now, and you know what's happened on my journey, being alcohol free is, it's contributed to at least 30-40% of my, I'd say, success in my health and my business and everything. Yeah, just because you just become laser like focused. There's no drug playing around with your mind, and you know, you just stay focused. You get that energy, you get the clarity in your mind, you figure out what you want to do, and you just go for it. You know, I know that if I have a drink this weekend, if I went out, it's gonna, I don't know, I reckon I'll be drunk after like half a pint. But I don't dare, because I know it's gonna wipe out. I know what it's gonna do, and I'm not gonna be as productive on Monday.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be the one that suffers. I'm a business, so
it's so true. I mean, like I say, I can't relate to the whole feeling great, because unfortunately I don't, but I can definitely relate to, and I've noticed this since being pregnant. If I'm out socially and people are drinking or drunk around me, if I was drinking, I'd normally just carry on drinking and catch up. I'd play captain and I'd be like, oh, they're all really drunk and I'm not. I'll just go and get me another glass of wine and I'll be fine. Or I'd feel anxious and I wouldn't really want to be there, but I'd use alcohol to make me feel better and, you know, I'll be fine once I had a few more drinks. Whereas now that that option's been taken away from me, like you said about that confidence and your social skills, and you just know yourself better and you just have that confidence. And I'll just say, I don't want to be here, I'm going. And yeah, it's great. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. And they won't remember, you know, depending on what type of night it is. But like, if someone's like 3 or 4 or 5 drinks in, they've forgotten. I've been doing this a long time. Like, I've built up the confidence. Like, when I'm out there, I'll dance completely sober. I've done that till like 2 a.m. Yeah, you do get to a point, not all the time, obviously, but you do get to a point, it's like, right, I'm done now, see you later. But everyone else is drunk, so they won't remember that I've left. It's all good.
No, even that.
See you in the morning.
I've been to a wedding, since being pregnant, and I got up and just danced all night and enjoyed myself. Whereas if I wasn't pregnant and I was sober, I'd have never got up and danced.
Yeah. It's well, so do it bad. when after the birth and everything, and, you know, when you go out, maybe don't have a drink and just carry on.
Yeah.
At that point you might want a drink.
I don't think there are many people that have a good relationship with alcohol. I really don't. Or I think, like you said, you didn't see it as a problem as such, but actually when you talk about it, all the effects it appeared to have on not just on you physically but mentally.
It
was a problem, wasn't it? Because like you say, look how much healthier and happier you are since being alcohol free.
Yeah, I think, yeah, if you look at it that way, yeah. I think, you know, when I look back to that moment, you know, 3.5 years ago when I just sat there and my belly was sort of hanging over and whatever, I could just see what was going to happen. I could just see the next 5 years. And this is no offense to anyone, but I could just see I'm going to be heading into my mid-30s, early 40s or whatever with the beer belly, still drinking with the lads at the weekend. No, that is not me. No. That cannot happen. And, you know, when going alcohol free, one of the goals that I set around it, I wanted to become an athlete. I wanted to have the mindset of an athlete. And that's what I do. That's what I've been doing. You know, and I completely changed my lifestyle. You know, instead of drinking at the weekend, I was out trail running in the mountains, running 35-40k up at 5 a.m.
My brain cannot compute how you go from binge drinking every weekend, being overweight with really unhealthy habits and, you know, lack of motivation to really do anything else, to just like bang, I'm running 80k. Like, what happens in between that? Where did you lose motivation at some points? Were there moments where you were like, oh, I can't be bothered, I just want to have a drink? Or do you feel like it was just a switch went off?
I think it was, at the start, it was a switch. Like, you can't just go, oh, yeah, I'm going to go run 80K. Well, you can, but you're probably going to get injured and not finish it. But it's been a process, you know, it's been a whole journey. But I got curious when I sort of did that first month of being alcohol free. I was just like on Instagram, and it was actually one of my wife's friends, who was one of my friends as well. She was doing all this obstacle course racing, like I mentioned before. I was like, that looks really cool. Look at that. And she was like racing every weekend. She was like, you know, like training like 5 times a week and then getting all these medals. I was like, I want to get involved in that. So I was introduced into that group. You see, I got into this group, and they were a good group of people. You know, they were all athletes. And some of them were really good. You know, they were coming in first place in like Spartan races and podium, you know, they're getting podiums and stuff in 5K runs and 10K runs and half marathons. And so I was hanging around with these people. And I think that's what supported me, because we say at A Game, who you hang around with is who you become. You are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. Mm. That is just how it is in psychology. So it's very important to look at your circles and go, are these circles serving me with my desired outcome or not? And obviously then my desired outcome was to be like an athlete. I wanted to be fit. I wanted to be running and not just sort of going to the gym and potting around. I wanted proper goals and proper going for it. And, you know, it didn't just jump to 80K. I started on 5K, worked on that, worked to 10K, you know, and 6 months went by, and then I did half a marathon and just built and built and built. But what helped with it was who I was hanging around with, because to really change, you've got to be surrounded by like-minded people, people who want to win and see a similar sort of vision as you, you know. And that's what I did. I hung around with other athletes and people that didn't really drink because they were racing every weekend, you know. So I was hanging around with these people. So it's different. Yeah.
I'm just curious as well, because I've gone the opposite way in the fact that being a nurse, working in the pandemic, going to IVF, I've gained 3 stone. I've gone like up 3 dress sizes, but I'm okay with it. You know, I'm very lucky and privileged that the IVF was successful. And yeah. I'm just so
carrying a baby.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be pregnant that,
yeah,
you know, weight loss and my health and stuff will come later, you know. So I'm okay with it, but I'm just curious, did the pandemic have any impact on your behaviors, your actions, your hobbies, your running? Or because it's quite, everything you're talking about is quite outdoors anyway, did you carry on? Was it easy to maintain?
Yeah, so when the first lockdown hit, I wasn't actually in the UK. So a lot of my changes happened in the Middle East. So my wife and I lived in Dubai for 4 years. We came back in July 2020. So around, I think, before the second lockdown started here. But when that first lockdown hit in Dubai, that was around end of March, April time. Yeah. They locked down quite early. And it was a strict lockdown. So, but I because the people that I'd sort of hung around with and the gym that I was involved in, they really helped us. So they set like home workouts and things. And, you know, I was one of the guys, one of my mates ran a marathon on his balcony.
Oh, God.
These are the sort of people I was with, you know. So okay. Their mindset was just so, there's no excuse. So I can still run. So I was running in the basement of the car park of the flat that I lived in, of the apartment I lived in Dubai. I was running in the basement.
Yeah.
Because it's just an excuse. But obviously, you know, prior to that, there were a couple of years, obviously leading up to the pandemic. You know, I'd been working a lot on my mindset, and I wasn't going to let that affect me. No, I can run in the basement. There's flights of stairs I can run on. I'm still going to get my exercise in. Because I've got my why. That's the thing. I've got goals, and I've got my reasons why I'm going to do it. And I know the consequences if I don't do it.
Yeah.
So I just do it. Nike, best slogan ever. Just do it.
Not that we're advertising.
Yeah. But also just to jump in, like, don't get me wrong. Like I struggled through the pandemic as well, you know, because I lost my job. I lost my job, and my wife and I flew back to the UK, and I was like, what the hell am I going to do now?
Well, do you know what? That's my next question. Like, what a time from home. And I was thinking, what brought you home? Because it sounds like you were living, I've been to Dubai, I'd live there. I just think, what a drastic change, because you're not just coming home to the grey and the misery of Great Britain. You're also coming home to during a global pandemic. So was it job loss that brought you back?
Well, we actually planned to come back anyway, because we did the plan was to do 2 years, then 3 years, and then 4 years, and then we were always going to come back, but we just came back like a couple of months earlier because I lost my job. So, and it was tough, but the positives out of it were a game was formed. You know, I started to work on a challenge, it's called the Alcohol Reset Challenge. This helps people take a break from alcohol. I worked on an online course for that. I started to work on although I wasn't fully qualified as a registered nutritionist, I had to start. I just thought, I'm not going to wait until I get registered. I'm just going to start now. And then I started planning everything, planning the business, how it would work, planning my coaching. But yeah, when I came back to the UK and was in the, you know, pandemic, and I can be really honest, I struggled for the first few months. There was a lot happening. You know, my wife's dad was diagnosed with cancer. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us now. there was that going on. But then being back in the UK, I struggled because the person that I created, who you see now, Adam, because our identities are always shifting, but the person you see now, I created him in a different country around people that supported him. And now I came back to a small little rural town in the northern part of England where I grew up. And I was like, shit, where are those people? Yeah, where are the people that where are the people I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. and go out running with? Which to some people that might sound a bit crazy, but I built up these standards and these habits over the course of, like, you know, 3 and a bit, 4 years or whatever. I built them all up, and now I'm back in a what was a familiar environment, as in, like, but I'm back in my small little town in England, and everyone's in lockdown, and
yeah,
I struggled, but you know, I fortunately I found, you know, some new friends and you know, some more sort of ultra runners, and yeah, joined a new gym and things, and so yeah. But it was either it was difficult because, you know, my friends back here, as much as I love them, you know, and everything else, they were very much like, let's go to the pub, Adam, let's go to the pub. I'm like, mate, I don't drink anymore. Like, I don't do that anymore. Do you want to come on a 40K trail run at 4 a.m. tomorrow morning? They looked like me. I had two heads. So it's just, yeah. I had to find other friends, really, you know, and then surround myself with them, and yeah, because they helped keep me on my toes. It was very easy to slip back to old habits, old ways, but no, I wasn't going to let that happen. So
what was kind of the tipping point? And I'm thinking it may be what you've already said, like the fact that you did lose your job and it was like, wow, now what am I going to do? But what was the point that made you think, I want to help other people to achieve this? When did it go from being a hobby to, I want this to be my career? I want to help others achieve what I've achieved.
Because I don't want anyone else to be in the pain that I was in. So the pain of, because I struggled with my identity. I've always struggled with who I am, you know, over the years. And I was a people pleaser as well. You know, in my 20s, I was doing things and saying things to please other people, to fit into circles. And that got me into a bit of trouble as well, which we haven't spoken about. But anyway, yeah, so I've always helped people. Like, in my career, it was helping people, like, fixing IT problems, you know. But because I had seen the benefits of all the work that I'd done on myself, and I was seeing people around me struggling, I thought, I can help you. I can help you. And I want to help you. And I don't want anyone to feel like how I felt, lost in a place, battling your head, you know, as to who you want to become, and trapped and not achieving your goals. And yeah, so then that was it. I just knew how well I felt from feeding my body with good nutrition, from getting outside and running and exercising, to drinking water, to getting a good night's sleep, to practicing gratitude, to meditating every day.
I'm so glad you said that. That was my next
question. Oh yeah, I've not mentioned that one. So that was the other game changer. I meditate. I've been doing that for like four years. Every day.
Yeah, I meditate every day.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I can definitely relate to you when it comes to being a people pleaser. Mm. But I personally had a lot of therapy to help with that. So that's why I was going to ask you, did you seek out any therapy, any counselling, or was it all, have you always been very self-directed? So has it been, oh, I'm going to look into meditation, I'm going to look into gratitude? Did you just discover all these things yourself?
Yeah, a lot. I didn't get any therapy. It was being curious and just it was people like the Happy Pair. I was like following them. I was like, where do they get this energy from? And they're like, oh, they're alcohol free. Hey, sorry?
I haven't heard of them. The Happy
Pair. The Happy Pair. Oh, yeah. You have to look them up.
Oh, wow.
David and Stephen Flynn, the Happy Pair. They're twins. And yeah, they've got some, they own a few cafes in Ireland and very successful in the vegan movement. And they got some great cookbooks as well. Yeah, fantastic cookbooks. But anyway, so it was more of looking at other people and going, oh, okay, what's this gratitude? They practice gratitude. Right, I'll look that up. Okay, right, I just research stuff, you know, just looking it up. And then it turns out there are studies in positive psychology about the benefits of practicing gratitude. And yeah, to me, it's just normal. And, you know, for example, when I get a new client, they're like, what's that? I'm like, okay, we'll get into this. But yeah, and then the meditation as well. Like, you know, I was someone who meditation, I was like, no, I don't have time for that. What's all that nonsense? It's all woo-woo. Mm-hmm. And then when I realized, oh yeah, when actually, if you're the person that says, I don't have time to meditate, you're the one that needs to do it the most.
Yeah.
So, and I just did it, you know, I just thought, right, yeah, well, got on YouTube, let's try one of these. Okay, this feels a bit weird, but actually I feel quite good after that. I did it again the next day, downloaded the Calm app. I've been using the Calm app for years.
Oh, amazing.
And then I still use it to today, you know, and I just, I've tested it where maybe I didn't do it one day. And it, yeah, I do it first thing in the morning, meditation, and it sets me up for my day. And it's, yeah, I love it. It's like my little time to myself. And if I'm having a bit of a stressful day as well, if I'm in my own head, I just go, right, let me just take 5 minutes out and just do a quick 5 minute meditation and get back to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been an absolute game changer. There's a meditation.
Yeah, I completely agree. I literally was just texting my mum this morning because she didn't get any sleep last night. She only slept for 2 hours. And I said, why, what's up? And she was like, you know, just loads on my mind. And I was like, well, what are you thinking about? She was like, everything and nothing. And I was just thinking, oh, that's, I remember being like that and just obsessing about the weirdest things, things that happened 10 years ago, things that just have nothing to do with me and just not getting any sleep because of anxiety and overthinking and being really like critical of myself. And yeah, it's really hard to explain to people, I think, who don't meditate, because it's like, well, how does just doing breathing exercises and sitting still for 5 to 10 minutes a day stop you from overthinking at night? But it's just the practices, and it's just, it's so complex. I think I'm not very good at articulating the benefits of it, but I think you've
said
it quite well. But
The Dalai Lama, he was asked, wasn't he? The Dalai Lama was asked, what do you gain from meditation? He said, I don't gain anything, but I lose stress. I lose anxiety. I lose judgment of myself. I lose judgment of others. And that's what I found as well. It's not going to happen overnight. You know, it's something, it's a practice. You have to turn up to your practice every day and do it. And it's like meditation is like, it's like when you go to the gym and you train your muscles, but you're training your mind. That's what you're doing. And you're training it to come back to the present moment. So whatever happens in your life, we all have shit, you know, that goes on. You're able to just, you know, when that stress, of course, I still get stress. I still get anxiety. I still get that, but I'm just able to better respond to it instead of just reacting to a situation. I can just, okay, let's deal with this. But don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. I still get stressed and things, but I'm just saying, I'm a lot more calmer. Things used to wind me up a lot, like the TV and Boris Johnson, and years ago, things used to really wind me up. And now I'm just like, doesn't affect me. So I'm just going to get on with my own thing, not judge it, not judge myself, breathe through it, and yeah, carry on.
Thank you so much for listening, as always. As I said, that was one Adam of three of the A-Game Consultancy. So there are two more episodes to come in this kind of bonus 3-episode special, if you want to call it that. Please remember to subscribe, rate and review. Check out the show notes for helplines, websites to utilise if you, a colleague, a loved one, somebody needs some extra support. Anything we've discussed, either like, you know, books or the podcast recommendations, I'll drop some links in there as well. And if you don't already, please follow me on Instagram at The Mad Moon Podcast, and you can get in touch themadmoonpodcast@gmail.com. Stay safe, everybody, and have a lovely Christmas!